I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, 95.7 ESPN.
All right, let's talk some Cuse hoops. One of our regulars in the sports bar. It's been a minute since we've had the chance to talk to Mike Waters of the Syracuse Post-Standard. Always appreciate Mike making some time for us here in Rochester. Mike, how are you?
I'm good this afternoon. How are you doing?
Mike, it's a little bit unexpected. Syracuse here at 14-9 entering tonight. Well, let's go back to that win over Wake Forest. You've been to a lot of these. How improbable was the ending to that game for Syracuse? Where would you rank that one?
Yeah, it was kind of up there with, three guys on the bench, all of them front court guys. So it's not like you had lost one at a couple different positions. And, they had a freshman seldom used Jesse Edwards at center. They had an even seldomer used freshman Bryson Goodine in at guard. They had moved Buddy Boeheim to small forward for the first time in his college career. I believe Elijah Hughes moved to the power forward spot for the first time in his college career. And they start out with about 5.5 minutes to go in the game with that lineup, and they're down 4, and they come back and win. That was pretty amazing, yeah. And the fact that Bryson Goodine, the freshman, gets the game-winning basket with a second and a half to go, that was just the cherry on top. No, I didn't give him a snowball's chance with about 5.5 minutes to go in that game.
Mike, Syracuse entering tonight, as Gino said, 14-9. I feel like we ask you this every year we have you on with us, but what is the magic number in terms of the amount of wins you think the Orange must get to get into the tournament?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that, because I get asked that exact question a lot. And the real answer is there is no magic number, because you're not playing in a vacuum. You can't just say, oh, if they get to 20 wins or if they get to 18 wins, that will be enough, because you're comparing them with, 12 other teams that are in that NCAA tournament bubble area. And it's what I hear from members of the committee all the time when I talk to them. It's about who you played, who you beat, and where you beat them. They want to see that you played a good competitive schedule. They want to see that you beat somebody good. And they also, it depends on where you beat somebody good. If you go back to the 2017 season for Syracuse, they did beat 3 nationally ranked teams in their ACC schedule. They beat Duke, Florida State, and Virginia. They didn't beat anybody on the road, though. And they didn't have a great non-conference schedule that year, or they didn't have any good non-conference wins that year. So, they were right on the bubble, but it came down to one of those last criteria. Where did you beat them? And that ended up hurting them. I think this team, when you look at what they have left, the games coming up, the next 3 games, are crucial. Tonight's crucial because NC State's in that same bubble region that Syracuse is. So you don't want to lose a head-to-head game, especially at home, against another team that you're going to end up being compared with in terms of a, last-minute seed there in the tournament. And then we follow up with games at Florida State and Louisville, and those are Syracuse's last 2 really good opportunities to bag a high-profile win, which is what they're lacking right now.
Yeah, Mike Waters, Syracuse Post-Standard. Mike, I'm going to confess my take from the year earlier in the season. People listening to our show know this. I said Syracuse for the first time was going to have a losing season under Jim Boeheim. It certainly looked prophetic early on when you're losing some really bad non-conference games, the no-show against Iowa, I think back. But, credit them when the calendar turned. How has this team been able to improve over the course of the season?
Well, they have improved. They haven't improved a lot. They've improved just enough. Like, the perfect examples are the 2 ACC games that they lost in early January. They lose at home to Notre Dame and Virginia Tech by 1 point and 4 points. And then within 2 weeks of that, they go on the road and they turn the Virginia Tech home loss into a point win. And that 1 point loss at home becomes to Notre Dame becomes a 2 point win on the road. So again, improved? Yes. Really improved? I don't really think so. You know, they can convince me otherwise over the course of this next week with these next three games. Mm-hmm. But they've improved because Marek Dolezal has gotten a lot better. And during that five-game winning streak in January, oh, my God, his numbers were great. He was nearly averaging a double-double at about 11 points and 9.5 rebounds a game. Now, he didn't have a good game in the last outing against Wake, but still, he's been playing really well. They've cut down on turnovers. They've also figured out ways to score other than using the three-point shot because teams are taking that away. We knew they would. Early on in the year when teams took away the three-point shot and beat them up on the boards, they got crushed. Now I'll give them credit. When Duke took away the three-point shot a week ago and beat them on the boards, Syracuse was still in that game. 5 minutes to go or 3 minutes to go, and they're down five. So they have improved. We just have to, it remains to be seen just how much and if it's not too late.
We're talking with Mike Waters, Syracuse Post Standard, Little Orange Hoop here in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. You know, Mike, we see a team like North Carolina having a down year, and I think it you know, we could all say it's fair to say that the ACC is down, or is the ACC down this year, Mike? And if they are down, how much is it down?
It's down, absolutely. You can't deny that. When the ACC only has three teams in the top 25, that's not normal. Usually you see four or five. And then you also would see like another couple, you know, in that 30 range, you know, 30 or 35. So, and they don't have that this year. They do have three really good teams between Louisville, Florida State, and Duke. They're all up there. And I think some of the narrative might change if the top three teams in the league were Duke, North Carolina, and Virginia, instead of, you know, Florida State and Louisville, which are kind of, you know, outliers there or outsiders, you know, the narrative might be a little different. But, you know, right now I'm looking at a lot of the guys that do the bracketology. And as of right now, it's either those three teams in, or I've seen a couple just today and yesterday where Virginia is sneaking in there with one of the last four teams in. And that's not normal for the ACC. So the league's a little down. The league's very, very young. North Carolina would be a lot better if they weren't just ravaged by injuries. But, you know, hey, everybody in the country has to deal with some injuries at some point. This year, it's North Carolina's turn.
Mike Waters, Syracuse Post Standard, our guest, taking on NC State, the Orange tonight. That's a 7 o'clock tip at the Dome. You mentioned NC State kind of in that same, you know, bubble area that Syracuse is. The Wolfpack at 6-6 in the conference. They got a couple big men that are game-time decisions for tonight's game. But, Mike, let's assume they both play. What are the keys tonight for an Orange victory?
Well, I'm with you. I'm assuming those guys play, especially DJ Funderburk, and he could be a problem. 6'10 guy, big. They have another freshman, registered freshman, actually, Manny Bates, 6'11". Watch out for him. Elite shot blocker. He's leading the ACC in block shots. He's in the top five or top 10 in the country. So, you know, not a name that people are putting out there, but, man, he's just having an incredible freshman year. Keys for Syracuse, I'd say right off the bat, you got to watch the mid-range area with NC State. They've got some guys that shoot the three ball okay, but they really like to get by you. And they get in the lane, and they'll either pull up for a mid-range jumper or they'll go all the way to the basket. And those guys, DJ Bryce, if he gets past you, if he gets in the mid-range, he's shooting. He's looking to score. They got a Devin Daniels is another 6'5 wing. Looks to score. The wild card is Markell Johnson, their little point guard, very quick. Syracuse has to keep him out of the high post area. When he drives, he's the one that will look to kick, either lob to a big guy or throw to a shooter. So watch out for Markell Johnson. He leads the ACC in assists this year. And nobody really talks about him as one of the top point guards in the league, but he's leading the league in assists, and he's fourth in steals. He's right up there. And everyone talks about Trey Jones and some of these other point guards, but, man, Markell Johnson's going to be a problem. Buddy Boeheim and Joe Girard are going to have to work together and make sure he's not splitting that gap at the top of the zone. If he's doing that, Syracuse is in a world of hurt.
Mike, I want to talk a little bit about Joe Girard in a second, but first I wanted to ask you about Elijah Hughes. The accolades are coming in, one of the 10 finalists for the Julius Evering Award, the best small forward in college basketball. Where would the Orange be without the play of Elijah Hughes this season?
Bottom of the ACC.
Yeah.
It's that. I mean, it's not that they're that reliant on him, but he just does so much. I mean, you know, he's in the top, I don't know, I think he's second in the league right now in scoring. He's been trading the first and second spot with Jordan Wara all year long from Louisville. So he's second in the league in scoring. Three-pointers made, three-point shooting percentage. He's among the leaders. You know, his rebounding numbers are up. His assist numbers are up. He's leading the team in assists from the small forward spot. That's not an easy trick. So, you know, they rely on him. Probably more than any other team in the ACC is relying on any one player. And I don't think he's going to get player of the year. Probably that goes to Vernon Carey of Duke. And people talk about Jordan Wara at Louisville, but I've seen Louisville win twice on the road at NC State and at Duke when Wara didn't play all that good. In fact, he had a bad game at Duke, and Louisville wins there. So I'm like, if you can win a game at Duke without your best guy playing his best game, then he's not the ACC player of the year. And he certainly isn't as valuable to Louisville as Elijah is to Syracuse, because Syracuse wouldn't have a chance in a game where Elijah's struggling like that.
You know, we knew Gerard's name, you know, for all the months leading up to his commitment to Syracuse, certainly high school basketball, New York State. And, well, I guess how would you, evaluate his play, Mike, here in his freshman year? And, you know, tell me what I'm seeing on the television here. Is it fair to say he's a little edgy? I mean, looking at the game at Virginia Tech or the Notre Dame ending was kind of strange. Does Boeheim have any issue with that whatsoever?
No, you have to have, if you're Joe Girard, you have to play with that kind of edge. You know, you're not a 6-foot guard with limited athletic ability coming out of Glens Falls and doing what he's doing if you don't have a little bit of on-court swagger. And when you think about what he's doing, you know, everybody was asking me, will he be able to score at this level? Because he's coming from little old Glens Falls and he was playing against a bunch of 5'8 guys. And like, he'll score. But coming into the season, I thought he'd be coming off the bench, you know, backing up Buddy Boeheim at the two, maybe getting a few minutes at point because Jalen Carey was the starting point guard. And if you go back to September, Bryson Goodheim was probably at number two in the point guard chain there. So, you know, here's Joe Girard starting every game except the first two of the year. And, you know, he's averaging in double figures. He's probably could shoot a higher percentage from three. But remember, he's being asked to do a lot on the floor. And so his percentage is okay, but he's making them, and he's a threat offensively. That's the main thing out there. He's a threat. His assist-to-turnover ratio has been very good, especially for a freshman point guard, you know, going up against, you know, some veteran guards in the ACC. You know, had a great game, I thought, against Duke and Trey Jones. I think he got off the top of my head. I'm not going to get it right, but it was something along the lines of 7 assists and 1 turnover against Trey Jones of Duke. That's a heck of a game. You know, so does he shoot, you know, does he force one every once in a while? Yes. Does he take one from way beyond range every once in a while? Yes. But you don't want to rein him in too much, because then you start to take away the trait that makes him very good. And that's that swagger and edginess that you're seeing. Yeah.
Mike Waters, Syracuse Post Standard, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Mike, we got some news about Dior Johnson. Now, is it hyperbole to say that he could be the biggest recruit to Syracuse since Carmelo, the high school sophomore that's committed to Syracuse?
Well, it's not hyperbole if it's a fact. And if you just look at the ratings, ESPN or Rivals.com, he's the highest rated recruit Syracuse has gotten since Carmelo. He's higher rated than Dante Green and Darius Bazley and Johnny Flynn. Pretty big-time recruit. It's the recruiting boost I think the program needed. Now, the kid's only a sophomore, so they're going to have to wait a couple years, but offer them a few years to use him as a guy who's going to lure other good players, because, you know, big guys want to play with good guards. Good shooters want to play with creative point guards and who are going to drive and kick to them. And if you see the kid's highlight tapes, it's not just full of him hogging the ball and chucking it up. It shows him a lot of times driving and these amazing no-look passes to big men who are going to the basket for lobs or kicking out to a wing to a shooter. And it's kind of refreshing when you see a highlight tape that includes passing. So he's a pretty big-time name, and he's well-known. And, you know, he was here at the Duke game a week and a half ago, and he was sitting along with another 4 or 5 other high school recruits. So, you know, the hope from the Syracuse coaches is that, hey, if he had that good of a time and is already committing, you know, maybe he'll be able to help convince some of the other kids that were with him to come to Syracuse as well.
Well, gosh, I'm trying to play this up because Buddy will have moved on by 2022. Is that, am I playing that out correctly?
Your math is correct.
Okay,
yes,
so,
very good.
So,
freshman would be a senior.
Okay, so I know, and probably Johnson would be a one and done, but as far as the future of Jim Boeheim, I guess this would kind of change the narrative that he would ride off into the sunset as soon as his son graduates.
You know, that the idea of Jim retiring at the end of Buddy's career or coaching here until Buddy was done is kind of the narrative that's been put out by a lot of people other than Jim Boeheim. He has never acknowledged that. Mm. Ever since Mike Hopkins left and threw the original succession plan out the window, the university, John Wildhack, the athletic director, Jim Boeheim, no one has spoken of what's the new timeline for Jim. So, I mean, I'd have to do the math myself, and you were better at it than I was, but I don't know what the math would be when Jim Boeheim's age, when Dior Johnson arrives, but if he's still in good health and still has the drive and everything, can you imagine a man as competitive as him walking away from a recruit like that?
Yeah, Mike, I'm glad we're talking about the coach a little bit here because we're coming up on that one-year anniversary of the fatal accident where Boeheim was behind the wheel. We're curious about how coach is doing. Is he the same Jim Boeheim? Did that accident change him in any way? You talk about a guy who's got a fiery disposition and he's a competitor and who knows when he decides to walk away from the game. But I'm more curious about mentally. Is he the same? Has he changed in any way as far as what you can tell?
A tragedy like that would change anybody, but you're not going to see that outwardly from Jim Boeheim. You know, he's a guy with an interesting upbringing. You know, born and raised in a funeral home. I think that kind of conditioned him to deal with death maybe differently than a lot of the rest of us. You know, he's an older guy. He maybe has more perspective on life and death and things like that than some. But still, no. You know, he said a year ago in that press conference following the Duke game, which was the first game after the accident, that, you know, it was something that he would live with for the rest of his life. And I think obviously that changes you. But I don't think it's changed him in terms of, you know, his approach to the game, his approach to recruiting the team, coaching games, dealing with media. You know,
he's still the same grumpy Jim, right?
Yeah, we've had our moments. So, no, I would say, yes, it's probably changed him, but it's probably changed him in a way that only those closest to him are ever really going to notice. And I don't think it's something that even Jim is that keen on talking about.
Well, on a light note here, I'm glad Jim does not dye his hair jet black like Krzyzewski. Can somebody tell Mike Krzyzewski it's not a good look there, Mike?
I would love to be able to prove, you know, that you know, what kind of hair dye Coach K uses. If he's not using it, you know, God bless him, man. That is some
Mike.
Those are some amazing genes.
Mike, here's my take. My take is this: it's not that he's using it; the dude is ingesting it. I bet you, if you pulled up a Papa John's receipt, you'd see his favorite topping is Grecian formula. This guy is a freak of nature. He's drinking a bottle of that before every game. It's probably not healthy.
No, probably shouldn't
do that. Stay away from an open flame.
Oh, Mike Waters, Syracuse Post Standard, our guest here. Mike, we love the work you and Donna do Syracuse, covering this team and keeping us updated. Game tonight, what else do you guys have in the pipeline we can go check out on your website?
Well, all the pregame stuff that we've done, what to know, the key 10 key things to watch, you know, all that stuff is up there. After the game tonight, we'll have all our usual coverage between, you know, Donna and myself. Chris Carlson's in tonight as the third guy in. And, you know, we're looking at things like, you know, how's the team doing with the short rotation? You know, are they experiencing any fatigue? The continuing foul problems for the big guys? And is that more than fatigue contributing to some of their second half issues? You know, so we got a lot of stuff like that. And, you know, look for us later in the season. We got some things coming up. We get the last home game against North Carolina. I'm working on a special story for that. John Wallace from Rochester will have his number retired that day.
Yeah.
Donna is working on some special stories about J-Dub. So, you know, that'll be a big event as well. So,
all good stuff at NewYorkUpstate.com. Mike Waters, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Mike, it's a pleasure to have you on with us. Hope we get the chance to do it again real soon.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. It's always fun.
Mike Waters, Syracuse Post-Standard. A lot to go on there. Yeah, the light bulb went off in my head with this kid Johnson. There's no way Jim Boeheim's walking away. So now we're talking, what, 2023, 2024? Yeah, he's king. Lifetime job.
I'm telling you, it's not going to be Syracuse, New York by the time I walk away. It's Boeheim, New York.
What do we have to do to get you to walk away, Jim?
Give me the Jeremy Piven's phone number.
Are you disappointed that Mike Waters would come on a show as lowbrow as the Sports Bar in Rochester, New York, for your liking?
Well, Mike and Mike, let me tell you, the ACC is... Wait, what? Where am I?
You're in Rochester.
Oh. Goodbye.
That dude will never come on our show.
No.
Never.
No.
Never.
No. Wild Hack will come on. Yeah. Babers comes on.
Never.
Yeah.
No,
never, ever. Hey, can we? Yeah, we'll get back to you.
Never,
yeah.
Ever, yeah. Ever. You know how they say never?
Never.
Well, I'm saying never. That was awesome. Love getting Mike Waters and his take on Syracuse basketball on the air with us here on ESPN Rochester. If you came in late for that, we'll get it on demand for you shortly. The radio.com app. If you search out the Sports Bar inside the app, all of our guest appearances are listed for you right there. You can listen anytime, anywhere. Next. Takes. I'll drink to that is on the way next.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple takes here. I want to follow up on the story yesterday about this Blue Jays suing. Yeah. Sometimes the media or people in charge will lead you a certain way. Do not believe anything that comes out of Rob Manfred's mouth because he threw this out there and he changed the narrative yesterday. Also, the Sabres tonight, because we do have to talk Sabres, I suppose. Jeff Skinner is in the career worst of his scoring slump here, 18 games straight. But let's look back here, as I think it's a good time to talk about the trade that brought Skinner here in the first place, because lo and behold, the Amerks are facing this team they're playing tonight. Let's check in on how this trade worked out.
I have a Taysom Hill take and a non-sports take today. Stay down, Hollywood. I'll explain. It's all on the way next. I'll drink to that. Some takes on tap in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Guys, Valentine's Day, Friday. Stay away from the CVS flowers. It's been a busy winter, but now with Valentine's Day right around the corner, this is your chance. You can bring the romance to the table and get her a gift card to the spot, the Del Monte. She's not always going to tell you what she wants. I can tell you she doesn't want CVS flowers. But you know that a gift card to the spot, the Del Monte, that will show her that you've been paying attention. Make the right move. Purchase gift cards in-store or instantly online at DelMonteSpa.com.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.